Yeah. That was some good stuff right there. That's what I'm talking about. Man, you ever have a bad day, you come in here and listen to you guys sing, changes it all. That's awesome. So, no, I didn't have a bad day, actually. But actually, my throat is doing great. Thank you guys so much for your prayers. It's feeling a lot better, so that's good. If you guys were here last Wednesday, you witnessed something weird where my voice just quit working. I don't know why that was. And then if you talk to me Thursday night, like guys in my Momentum group, I was like, hey guys, how's it going? It sounded like I smoked a pack a day. So I don't, all right? I don't. And then Saturday, this weekend, I taught all three services. Same thing. It was like probably painful for you guys to listen to. So I'm glad you didn't plug your ears. At least I didn't see you guys plugging your ears. People may have brought earplugs. I don't know. But tonight we're going to start a new series on Wednesday nights. I'm actually going to be gone a couple Wednesday nights here real soon, and we'll have to skip a couple weeks. But we're starting a new series tonight called The Hall of Faith. And what we're going to be doing is going through chapter 11 of Hebrews, all right? So if you want to go ahead and turn there, if you haven't already, Hebrews chapter 11, it's in the New Testament. You guys may have heard of this before, referred to as the Hall of Faith. And really the reason behind that is because it's full of people who had faith in God and what God did through that faith. It's really cool. And so we're going to be looking through that. But as I was thinking about the Hall of Faith, I realized that there's really a lot of Hall of Fames in the world. Okay, how many of you guys are baseball fans? All right, I used to play baseball. That's cool. I remember the Baseball Hall of Fame. I remember thinking that I was always going to end up there. Obviously, that didn't happen. There's, you know, you got the Football Hall of Fame. Where's all the football players at? Nice. The Basketball Hall of Fame. The Tall Guy Hall of Fame. No. That'd be cool if they had that. I don't know if they have that. They got the Music Hall of Fame or the, I don't know, all kinds of stuff. But probably one, well actually this hasn't yet come to be a Hall of Fame, but in my opinion, I think it should be. They have championships around the world every year called the Beard and Mustache Champions. All right. So check this out. Here is the front page of worldbeardchampions.com. Okay? You can go check out this place. Do you see that facial hair? Is that not crazy or what? The guy's got flags in there and everything. So that guy's like that guy is like the reigning champion, I guess, for beards and mustaches. So I heard someone said something about this, and I was like, hey, I need to go check that out. So I checked out this website. You guys got to see the pictures on there. I'll show you guys a few. Here's our next one. Our next specimen of human excellence. Here's our next one. Look at that guy. Yeah. Everybody wants to have Are those mustaches plural? Does he have multiple mustaches? I think he does. Okay, let's check out our next one. Beautiful. That's like, what that is his beard looked up at his mustache and was like, dude, I want to be like that guy, you know? So his beard started styling like the mustache, I guess. I don't know how that happened. It looks like a gigantic mustache on his chin. Okay, here's our next one. Very nice. Got the handlebars plus the giganto beard mustache thing. Something. I don't know what. I don't know. I wonder if these guys are married, and if so, what their wives think about this. Because I can tell you right now, if I got anywhere close to that, in fact, if I grew like the beginnings of a mustache, Jen would not like that. So I don't know how they got there. They can't have wives. Otherwise, their wives are freaks like they are, I guess. Okay, but here, this next one is my favorite of all. You guys ready for this one? If there was ever a guy with multiple mustaches, here it is. Check it out. Yeah. That's like three mustaches stacked on top of each other. I don't understand that. So I started looking through this whole website, and I was like, man, this is awesome. But I was realizing that these competitions are all over the world. And then I got really excited. You know why? Because I found out they're coming to the United States. All right? So it said, click here to find out about the next beard and mustache championship coming to the United States. So I clicked there, and I went to, it took me to nycbeard.com. Check out this one. Freaky. Did that guy scare you? I jumped in my chair when I turned to that website. Look at that guy. Like his hair is actually pretty short. That beard is just outrageous. It looks like there's probably small animals living inside of there, you know? Or maybe even large animals. But you can buy tickets. They've got mustache videos, a blog. What do you write on a mustache and beard blog? Like, hey guys, I looked in the mirror today, kind of freaked myself out, you know? What do you write on a blog like that? So in my opinion, these guys should have their own beard hall of fame. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but I would go. I would pay money to go check these guys out, you know? Statues of these guys or whatever. In my book, these are heroes, all right? These are giants among men, okay? These are role models to look up to if you're a freak. So, what? Okay, so anyways, as we have this idea in our minds of these halls of fame, where you walk down, maybe you guys have been through a hall of fame before, and you walk through these halls, and you see pictures of great athletes or famous people, and you're inspired by them, or you're reminded of their stories. That's what we're going to be doing through the book of Hebrews, or actually in the chapter of Hebrews 11. And we're going to see how God used faith in this hall of faith in the lives of great men and women who trusted in God, and also how God can use the faith that He's given to us. Because as we're going to discover, these people would not be in the Hall of Fame if it weren't for faith, because it would be impossible. As we'll learn in a few weeks, it is impossible, as it says in Hebrews 11:6, to please God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So tonight, we're going to look at the fact that pleasing God is impossible. Mission impossible without faith. Without faith, the mission to serve God and to honor God is impossible. Now, I had something cool happen last night. I had a friend come talk to me, and he said, hey, Kevin, what are you doing tonight? And I said, well, I'm studying for tomorrow night. And he said, oh, really? I'll bet you wish you were seeing a sneak preview of Mission Impossible 3 for free. And I was like, you're right. How did you know that I wish that? And so he handed me a ticket. So I was able to go last night to sneak preview of Mission Impossible 3. Let me just tell you, I got one word: amazing. Okay, that's all I could really say. And I could also say this: better than the other two. Do you guys want me to ruin the story for you guys? No, I'm not going to do that. No, you guys will love it. Go see it, all right? And I liked it because it was actually pretty clean. It was just pretty graphic, but really good. Good action movie. But I don't know if you guys have ever been given an impossible task. For you guys, I know for me growing up, the impossible task was cleaning my room. You know, maybe that's it for you guys. For me, hide and seek is impossible, okay? Where does a guy my size hide, you know, besides like a telephone pole or a tree, you know? Like, I could stand behind a tree and kind of go like this, and people might not notice me. I don't know. That's never worked for me so far. But who tried an impossible stunt a couple weeks ago? His impossible stunt was, this guy's a base jumper, okay? And so what that means is he tries to find really high things to jump off of with the parachute. So he decided that he was going to jump off the Empire State Building in New York City. All right. Now, that's, first of all, what we like to call illegal. You can't just go up to the Empire State Building and jump off. Okay? And usually if you do, that ends up in what we like to call a splat on the ground. And then I guess they could take you to jail, but I don't think they usually do that. But this guy decided he wanted to base jump. So he decided that he was going to need the appropriate tools to accomplish this impossible task. The appropriate tools in this guy's case was a mustache. He should have learned from those guys to hide his identity, as well as a $15,000 fat suit. So this guy puts on his parachute on his back, and then buys a fat suit for $15,000 and puts that on over the backpack. So he, you know, he's just a big chunky guy walking into the Empire State Building. Nobody thinks anything about this guy. Walks into the bathroom, changes out of the fat suit so that he's got his parachute on his back, runs out there and gets stopped, fortunately, by the security guards. His plan was foiled when they handcuffed him to the top of the building. I guess that's what he gets, huh? He's all, oh, sweet. This is a lot of fun. You know, I'm really high and I can't do anything about it. But, you know, I was trying to picture this. Can you imagine getting off the airplane or the elevator with this real big guy? He walks into the bathroom. You're pretty sure you see him come out a few minutes later, but he's dropped like 250 pounds. Can you imagine that? Obviously, this guy's plan didn't work. It actually, I guess, turned out to be impossible for this guy. But to accomplish his task, he needed the tools necessary to do so. And to accomplish our task, that is living for Jesus Christ, doing our best to honor God because he loved us first, to accomplish that task, just like that guy, we need the appropriate tools. Thankfully, that tool does not come in the shape of a mustache or a fat suit for us. That tool comes in the shape of faith. And that's what we're going to be learning about tonight. Tonight we're going to take an in-depth look at what faith is and why it's so necessary for our mission in life. We'll learn that without faith, the mission of serving God is impossible. It cannot be done. You cannot please God without faith. Well, also tonight, I know I have been, and I hope you guys will be challenged to check your faith in God and to see if your lives are really full of faith. You know, we have the word faithful. Would that characterize your life? Are you full of faith? If not, it's time to start working on it. So, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to evaluate the strength of your faith. Is it strong? Are you trusting in God, or are you living for yourself? Are you being selfish? Are you allowing yourself to be depressed and struggle with sin and not care about this or that, doing the right thing because who cares? I'm having fun. Is that you? Well, you don't have very strong of faith. In fact, I would question whether or not you really know who God is in the first place. God is always looking for people, looking for faithful people to serve him and to be used by him. Are you that person? Let's read in Hebrews chapter 11. We're just going to focus tonight on the first three verses. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So the first thing that we discover tonight about faith, without faith, hope is unfounded. Our hope is unfounded. That word unfounded literally means not based on fact or sound evidence, groundless. It has no foundation. Verse 1, right there in that we just read, the second word in the verse is our key word, faith. And that is actually the first of 24 times that word is used throughout the whole chapter. In fact, maybe you guys on your own time can go home and underline, you know, all the time it uses the word faith throughout chapter 11. Read it. It's pretty fascinating. In fact, in the whole New Testament, that word faith is used 244 times. It's obviously a pretty big theme of the Bible and the New Testament especially. And why is that? Well, because without it, as we discussed, our mission is impossible. We cannot please God without faith. So now we all know that a foundation is very necessary for a building to have, as well as roots are very important for a tree or a shrub to have. Obviously, we all know that. And without a foundation or without a root system, there is often destruction. So let me give you an example. Here's some people who don't have a good substance or foundation. Okay, these guys are acrobats. They are from Beijing, China. And what they like to do is climb up on chairs and then do handstands on them. Now, that would not work for me. I don't know if any of you guys could do that. Maybe a couple of you guys could if you're a little more talented than I am. But that right there would provide a very unstable foundation for me. There is no way that would work. So these guys hold the world record for the highest human chair stack. Now that's something to be proud of, I guess, right? The highest human chair stack, and it's actually usually one higher than this. They usually have 6 acrobats and 7 chairs at a height of 21 feet tall. So it's about 2 stories tall that they stack these chairs and they do handstands. So imagine using a similar foundation. Okay, imagine if I assign you a task and I say, hey, after service, would you come up on the stage and take down the Velocity banner? And you say, oh yeah, no problem. I say, cool, well, you can ask me and I'll grab a ladder for you. And you say, oh, I don't need a ladder. That's fine. So after service, you come up here, you grab 7 chairs, you climb up on the chairs, you do a handstand to remove the banner. Now, how successful do you think you would be at that? Very. Oh, good. We have an acrobat in the house. Congratulations. He's from Beijing. But everybody else would be very unsuccessful, wouldn't we be? Especially me. My clumsy self, there's no way I could probably even stack 2 chairs, much less 7, much less climb on top of them, much less do a handstand on top of 7 stacked chairs, 21 feet in the air. No way. Why is that? Because I need a much sturdier foundation. I need some substance to stand on. It wouldn't work. In fact, sadly, I read a sad story this week. Two weeks ago, a guy in California died in his home when the foundation underneath his house had begun to shift. And he didn't know. And he was in his kitchen at night. It was like 9:30 at night. Literally, the title of the story was Man Gets Swallowed by House. He was in his kitchen and the foundation had eroded away underneath his house, so much so that he stood on a certain part in his kitchen and the floor collapsed and he fell into a huge hole and was covered by rubble and debris. And he didn't make it out alive. Does that tell you the importance of a strong foundation right there? That guy could still be alive today if the foundation had been strong. We need a foundation in our lives. And God is always looking for people to use who trust Him. Are you one of them? Are you one of those people that God can use that is faithful? Verse 1, let me reword that for you so we kind of get an idea of it. Now, faith is the foundation of things hoped for. The foundation, the thing that we stand on of things that we hope for. Now, a lot of times when we think of the word hope, we could think of a lot of different things. Maybe you go to Hope Christian School. Maybe you think of that right away. Sometimes that's what I think of. I went to that school. But also, we use the word hope a lot. But our use of the word hope is often much different than how the Bible uses the word hope, okay? We use it a lot of different ways. Oh, I hope that my mom buys me Krispy Kremes for breakfast tomorrow. Maybe you hope that. But that's not based on anything. You're just hoping. It's like a wish at your birthday. Or maybe you say, well, I hope I get an A on my math test. For me, it was, I hope I pass math. You know, because I'm terrible at that. So there's a lot of different things. Maybe you say, I hope that my teeth do not rot and fall out of my mouth if I eat a bag of Reese's before I go to bed. Now, I can't guarantee anything on that. In fact, if you really hope that, you probably won't talk to your dentist because he'll tell you to do the opposite. But those kind of hopes are not based on anything. They're based on uncertainty. They're unfounded. It's based on something that we don't know for sure is going to happen. In fact, a lot of times when we say we hope something, a lot of times we know that it's really not going to happen. The opposite might happen. But biblical hope is so exciting. It's so much different than that. As we look through some verses tonight, I want you to write these verses down. Maybe take these home and read them on your own. Really good ones. Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. Says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the Christians? No, for the ungodly. That's the hope that we have. That we were ungodly, but Jesus loved us so much that he died for us anyways. That we couldn't earn God's love. We can't earn a heavenly hope. God gives us that. And it says hope does not disappoint. It does not disappoint because it has a foundation. It is founded. It has substance. And with faith, you have a foundation for your hope. You have something to stand on. However, let me tell you tonight, without faith in Jesus Christ, maybe you're in this room tonight and you've never thought that you needed to follow Jesus. In fact, you've rejected it. You've come to church a lot, maybe, and you just continue to reject it. Without a living faith in your life, let me just tell you the honest truth. You have nothing to stand on, you have no foundation, and you have nothing to look forward to. That's what life without Jesus, that's where it leads. However, life with Jesus gives you a foundation and a hope to look forward to. So if you're here tonight, I was just talking to you, and you have rejected Jesus, it's not too late to change tonight. We'll have an opportunity to do that at the very end. Verse 1 also tells us that faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now, that's kind of weird. Don't you have to see evidence for it to be evidence? You know, let me ask you this. Do you think invisible evidence would hold up in a court of law? You're like, hey, judge, here we have Exhibit A, which you'll see. Well, actually, you can't. But and he's like, this guy's crazy. Lock that guy up, you know? That wouldn't work at all. You can't have, imagine if you called an invisible witness up to the seat, you know, judge, I'd like to call my friend George. And so he walks up there and the judge is like, are you going to bring anybody? Yeah, he's there right now. You know, you can't see him. What are you, crazy? And you start talking to the invisible guy. Who's going to be ruled the crazy one? You are, right? You're insane. They're going to take you to the loony bin right away. Invisible evidence would not hold up in the court of law. However, this is where faith is different than any other kind of evidence. Faith is much different because faith is the evidence of the invisible. Faith is the evidence of what you cannot see. Faith is the evidence that there is a God, because you can't believe on God on your own. And if you do, it is the evidence that there is a God. It's amazing how they work together, how God caused that to work together. Because this is something, faith is something that only God can give you. Only God can reveal to you. It was not your idea. It wasn't your idea to say one day like, hey, I'll have faith in God. That's a good idea. No, that wasn't your idea. That was God's idea. It was God's idea to put that in you. He allowed you to have that faith. He offered it to you. And he allowed you to have it. And you took it. Good job, God. I'm so thankful for it. And so verse 1 here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's kind of like our owner's manual for faith. It tells us how to do it. It tells us how it works. Now imagine if I were to get online. I was to tell you, hey dude, I think I'm going to order an iPod. You're like, oh, sweet. What kind are you going to get? And I decide on the shuffle because it's the, you know, it's the smallest one and it's a little less expensive to fit my budget, right? So I get online. About a couple weeks later, I walk up to you. I'm like, dude, check it out. I got my iPod in the mail. The user's guide. Yeah. You know? And you're all, oh, the user's guide. That's cool. But where's your iPod? I'm like, oh, it's bad. I didn't even take it out of the package. But dude, check out the user's guide. This is amazing, you know? And I start flipping through here. I'm like, dude, it's got this little picture of a laptop here. Let's see what else we got. Quick start. This is a picture of that shuffle thing. I don't even know what that's used for. But, you know, and I'm flipping through. I'm like, man, it's telling me how to play music and transfer music and all these option buttons. This is awesome, you know? And I'm like, I call up Apple and I'm like, dude, I can't find it anywhere online. Can I order a case for my user's guide? And they're like, a case for what? My user's guide for my iPod. Well, we'll sell you a case for your iPod, but we don't have, why not? I want to protect that thing. You think if I stick it in my back pocket, I want it to get all wrinkled, you know? And I start getting really upset and I eventually make my own case for the user's guide. Now you guys would think I was insane. Wouldn't you? Like, what is that guy doing? Hey, Kevin, since your iPod's a piece of trash, I'll take it, you know? Start using me. But you'd think I was insane. I would be insane. Because the user's guide is just the beginning. You don't experience the power of that tool till you put it into play. Until you plug it into the computer and you put some music on there and you throw those earbuds on and you rock out. And that's when you really start to see, dude, this is pretty sweet. And you don't even look at the user's guide anymore. I don't think I've looked at this since I got my iPod. I don't care about the user's guide. Honestly, I care about my iPod because I want to experience the power that it has in it. Well, guess what? Faith is the same way. This verse is the user's guide. And it's good to read it. Maybe even have that verse memorized. That's really good. But if that's all you have and you never experience the faith, then who cares? It doesn't do you any good. You have not experienced the power until you try it out. Take it for a test drive. Faith is that way. Reading verse 1 is not enough. Memorizing it is good, but it's not enough. And you'll never know its full strength until you give it a try. And true faith will change your life. It will change your life, your actions, your thoughts, your priorities. It will change everything about you. And if that has not happened in your life, you don't have true faith. Because the Bible says true faith has eternal weight. It changes you forever. With faith, hope has a foundation. But without faith, hope is unfounded and useless. Number 2, without faith, humans are unwise. Good verse 2. For by it, speaking of faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. That's why James tells us. You guys may remember the verse. Hopefully you have it memorized. James chapter 1, verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, who do you ask? Let him ask of God. Not let him ask of a genie. Or not let him make a wish for it on his birthday, but let him ask of God. God is the only source. Don't ask other people for wisdom. That's good. It's good to seek godly counsel. However, God is the final control. Apart from God, we have nothing to offer. We are lazy, sinful, and honestly, not very smart apart from God. Apart from God, we are not. In fact, think about how crazy it is to reject Jesus Christ. He loved you so much that he died for you so you wouldn't have to go to hell. But instead you say, well, I just want to live this life and then spend eternity in hell. That'll be great. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. But a lot of people do it. And apart from Christ, we have nothing to offer. I found a couple examples of human laziness. One is called the Roomba. This thing is a wireless, hands-free vacuum cleaner. Now, I like this because I'm lazy. And I would love to say, Jen calls me and she says, hey, Kevin, could you vacuum the house? I'm like, Yeah, hold on real quick. And I just roll over and hit the on button, you know. Hey, go to work, buddy. You know, I just roll back over and go back to sleep. That'd be great. But I'm lazy. And that's why I like it so much. Check these ones out. The shoe mops. You can mop the floor just by walking around, you know. You're like, your mom calls and you're actually like making like ice cream sundaes in the kitchen, you know. And she calls, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm mopping, you know. You're just walking around like this. I'm obviously mopping, you know. You just run around the house in your mop shoes, mopping. We're lazy. So much so that we had to put mops on our feet so that we wouldn't have to take extra, you know, extra energy to get out the real mop. Although walking around can get a little strenuous too. So you got to be careful. Check this one out. The body dryer. This is remote controlled. You stick it to the ceiling in the bathroom and you get out of the shower and you just stand there and just let it dry you. Because we wouldn't want you to waste your energy on, you know, the towel. Because, man, that thing's heavy, first of all, you know. And to get that thing all over, you know, I mean, man, you're just going to be worn out by the time you get done with that. Let the body dryer take care of you. Can you imagine? Oh, yeah, there we go. Oh, yeah. Yeah, right? You just stand there and let it do the work. This was my favorite one, the ice cream turner. As if you exert a lot of energy to turn your ice cream cone, you know? Like, oh man, I'm getting so worn out from licking this ice cream cone, I can't reach the back. What am I going to do? Oh, I'll push this handy button right here. Oh yeah, yummy. Can you imagine what kind of lazy person has that? What? I think it takes much more effort to put your cone and get that thing all hooked up and battery powered than to like turn your cone around a little bit and lick it. But that's how lazy we are. Check this guy out. This guy was obviously an example of not being so bright. Okay? Maybe you guys heard of this guy in the news. His name's Muhammad Nur Chamusa. And he's pictured here with his grandma? No. His great-grandma? No. His wife. Yeah, you heard it. You heard it. Yeah, that's what I thought. He wanted her for the money. She's actually poor. So I don't even know why he married her, you know? Okay, check this out. If you think there's a big age difference, 71-year difference. He is 33 years old. She is 104 years old. Okay? Now, is that creepy or what? Now, check this one out. This is his first marriage. This is her 21st marriage. That's like, okay, 71-year difference. That's like if you're 12 years old marrying right now an 83-year-old. Can I get a big sick for that? There we go. There we go. So that's just crazy, right? Okay, shh. Apart from God, we don't have much to offer, do we? We're lazy. We're not that smart. We're not motivated. We're not that great apart from God. Verse 2 tells us, for by it, speaking of faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. So who are the elders? Is this lady that's 104 years old? She's pretty elder in my book. No, that's not the elder God is talking about here. The elders referred to in verse 2 are the Old Testament saints. These guys who honored God through the way that they lived. It's also listed throughout the rest of the chapter that we'll be learning about in the next few weeks and months. That had faith in God. And it says that they had a testimony. That word testimony means to bear witness to. In other words, God revealed to them. He spoke to them because of their faith. And so faith is the foundation of hope and evidence of the invisible because of faithful lives and actions of these elders, of these Old Testament saints, Abraham, Noah, Moses. Their lives proved it. Their lives proved faith. Their lives proved what God can do with a person that has faith. These were incredible men and women of God that we'll read about that gave it all that did crazy things at times, like build a huge boat in the middle of a desert when there was no rain. You guys know the guy. His name's Noah. And he was crazy. He was a man of faith, though. People thought he was crazy, but he wasn't at all. He was just listening to God. And so he stepped out, even though it made no sense. Verse 3 is our first instance of the phrase by faith in Hebrews 11. That phrase is used 18 different times throughout the chapter. And we're going to go on to learn in the next few weeks about by faith how people were able to do things and what they were empowered by God to do by faith. But first, before we get there, we need to conquer a fundamental belief of Christianity, and that is creationism. Because it says in verse 3, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We need to conquer this, first of all, because it's only by faith that you can believe God spoke things into existence. There is no other way you can believe that except by faith. Because that doesn't make any sense. In fact, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." When was the last time your lights obeyed you? That doesn't happen to me, okay? The closest I've come is like the touch lamp thing or the clapper, right? You know, the clapper is nice. But it doesn't say, then God clapped twice and there was light. It doesn't say that. It said, then God said, let there be light. Boom, there was light. Light. Things came into being by God saying he wanted them there. That's how powerful our God is. It takes faith to believe that God's very word spoke our world into existence. It takes faith. If you want to read more on creation, Psalm 33:6, Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, Genesis 1 through 2. Check those out. It talks about how God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 3, though, reveals to us why it is that people believe in evolution. It's never made sense. Well, why would people believe in that? Well, because they have no faith. It's by faith that people understand that God created everything. So without faith, it's no wonder that people can't believe it. If they don't believe there's a God, there's no wonder that they believe that we're all an accident. Belief in creation is only possible with faith, and faith is only possible with God's word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your science teachers, your classmates, your family needs to hear the truth. They need to hear it. Are they hearing it from you? They're telling you their lies, but are you giving them the truth right back in a loving way? It's important to do that. Faith comes by hearing, and you got to tell them the word of God. So this kind of faith brings to me such a peace and a reassurance. Because it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed. That word framed means to fit or equip so it might serve the purpose for which it was made. In other words, by faith we understand that the worlds, everything created, was made for a purpose. That it would fulfill the purpose it was created for. That's what we believe by faith. And sometimes things seem a little out of the ordinary, a little useless. I remember the first time I went to Taco Bell, and I saw their fancy silverware that they like to call the spork. You guys know what I'm talking about? The spoon fork thing. I saw that thing and I was like, that's the most deformed looking fork, spoon thing. Spork. That's why they, you know, it didn't click. Why would they call it? Is that some kind of meat? You know, the spork? Spam? I don't know. You know what? What is the spork? It seems useless on its own. But actually, it's pretty nice. I like the spork, you know. In fact, if they made those, I might just own those at my house in metal form. You know, it'd be great. Check this one out. I brought some seeds. Now, these seeds seem a little useless on their own. They're tiny. They're like, you can barely even You know, you can hold like 100 of them in your hand, but check out what they do. These are chia seeds, all right? And so I got these with my chia Shrek pet, okay? And Shrek began to grow a mohawk in the form of chia, and it was great. And so these seeds, although they're pretty small, can be used for something pretty awesome. I really like that thing. How about, let's see what else is kind of weird. How about your thumb? Your thumb's just kind of weird, you know? Like it doesn't look like any of your other fingers. You only got two of them. You got eight of the other ones. Why not just stick with the eight? But have you ever tried doing stuff without your thumb? You know, like, let's see. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to, you know, it's really hard. Try drinking a Coke. You got to use both hands. But with your thumb, although it's kind of weird looking and, you know, maybe your nail is kind of weird. I don't know. But it's pretty useful. It may seem strange, but God can use everything. In fact, God even did this in the Bible. You may remember back in Numbers chapter 22, God used a donkey to talk to one of his prophets, to rebuke Balaam. A donkey. In the book of Jonah, you remember what God used? A big whale. He used a big whale to swallow up Jonah and get Jonah to think right. Back in Exodus chapter 3, God used a burning thorn bush to call Moses into full-time ministry. God uses insignificant things for incredible purposes. And through faith, we can believe that God has a purpose for every circumstance. In fact, we can have faith that God uses even a seeming tragedy for our good. Perfect example, Jesus' death on the cross. Think about what went through the minds of the disciples. They had followed Jesus around for about 3 years. All of a sudden, he is violently taken away from their prayer time. He is beaten and he's murdered and left to die. And they put him in the grave. His disciples, some of them saw him actually, his body limp, get carried away and put in the grave. Imagine what's going through their heads. Why would God allow something like this? I wonder how many of them may have been angry at God, or fearful, or upset. I can't, you know, they may have been thinking Satan finally won. How could God allow his only son to die? But you remember that God used it for our good, didn't he? It seemed like a tragedy, but 3 days later, Jesus rose. And he's alive today. And it's because of that that we have a hope that we can go to heaven. I've talked to people before that said, man, I don't have a heavenly hope. And I've thought, man, that is so sad because I am stoked to get to heaven. Let me tell you how to do it. We have a heavenly hope. And without faith, humans are unwise. But with faith, God gives us the wisdom and the understanding that we need. And when God begins to open your mind to him and how big he is, I guarantee it'll blow your mind. I talked to a guy this week. We were only supposed to be, you know, we were only planning on meeting for a few minutes. We ended up talking for over an hour. And I began to tell this guy about the Trinity, about how God knows everything. He knew about us before your mother did. All of these things, how God is everywhere, how God knows the beginning from the end, how God was never created and he's never going to end. And he, by the end, this guy was like, dude, that is amazing. I thought I knew God. You have opened my mind up to God, and I want to serve him even more. And as God begins to give you more and more faith, and you begin to open your mind up to the things of God, God will blow your mind. God will revolutionize your life. He's done it to people all throughout the Bible. And tonight, by faith, we celebrate communion. We celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive. That this bread that's on the table represents his broken body. That this juice that will be on the table here in a minute represents his blood that was shed for our sins to take them away. By faith, we do that. By faith, we celebrate this, that Jesus is alive. However, let me tell you this. Without faith, celebrating Jesus' death and resurrection is mission impossible. You can't do it. Without faith in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, eternity in heaven is also impossible. You can't get there ever. Let me remind you of what Job said. At the worst possible time in his life, the lowest he ever had been, Job chapter 19, verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Job, do you know about Job? Job lived about the time of Abraham, back in Genesis chapter 11 or 12. This guy lived thousands and thousands of years before Christ ever came to the earth. And if Job, in the midst of losing his kids, his money, his popularity, his friends, his wife, in the midst of all of that, thousands of years before Jesus came to the earth, if he could have faith like that, what is our excuse? We have no excuse. Because now we look back at the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection as a fact that saves us for eternity. Hebrews 4:16 from the Living Bible says, "So let us come boldly to the very throne of God and stay there to receive his mercy and to find grace to help us in our times of need." I'm going to have Andrew come up here right now. We're going to close in a time of worship and prayer. And as we hit the lights and as we begin to focus on what matters tonight, I want you guys to do what I said at the beginning, to analyze the faith that's in your life. I'm willing to bet that there are people in here who are not taking this seriously and who do not understand how much they really need God. Nobody needs to be talking to anybody else right now. Our focus needs to be on the Lord, because God gave up his only son to prove his love for us. And Jesus died the death that we deserved while we hated him. He did it for us. So right now, we're going to spend some time praying, worshiping. The leaders are going to be around the room to talk with you and pray with you. Maybe tonight you realize you need to accept Jesus. You need to make a decision to follow Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've already made that decision, but you're struggling. Maybe you're struggling at school or at home, wherever it may be, with friends, on the computer, with movies, with drugs, with popularity, whatever it may be. It's time tonight to turn that over to the Lord. Tonight can be the night of victory. Tonight you don't have to struggle with those things anymore. Not that it's going to be easy. Not that Jesus is going to just break every temptation, but he'll give you the power over it. You just got to trust in him. So right now, we're going to spend some time in prayer. The leaders will be there for you. If you need to talk to someone, pray with someone. When you're ready, it's not a race. We got time. When you're ready, come up to the table. Grab a piece of bread. Thank Jesus for his broken body. Dip it in the juice that symbolizes his blood that was shed for us. But let me remind you, if you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, this is not for you. Because the Bible says, if your heart is not right when you come before the Lord, you are drinking and eating judgment upon yourself. And I wouldn't want anyone to do that. However, if that's you, if you're not ready for this table, get ready tonight. Go talk to a leader. Pray with them. Tell them that it's time and that you're ready to surrender your life to the Lord. So let's spend some time worshiping, praying. Make sure you're quiet. And when you're ready, come up here. We got about 5 minutes to take communion and spend some time in worship. So let's do that.
desire anything.